Moving on to a different topic now, you could easily argue that Jim Heaney and his staff at Investigative Post have covered Governor Andrew Cuomo and his economic development programs more deeply than really any other news organization. So today, I thought it would be illuminating to hear what the old guy has to say about the verdict in the Prococo trial, among other issues. Jim Heaney, welcome back.
Well, nice to be back.
So the Prococo verdict is in. What do you think it says about Governor Cuomo?
Well, I think, what was striking was how, to me, was how indignant Cuomo was in the aftermath about this. Is no reflection on me, no reflection on my administration, no reflection on state government, when in fact it is exactly an accurate reflection of the governor, his administration.
In what way?
In this thing. Well, the governor was correct in pointing out that he was not on trial. He was not found guilty of wrongdoing. But the fact is that he has created the environment that has allowed Prococo to do what he did. He's an enabler. When you look at his approach to economic development, I think it's three or four parts. You want to make a splash, i.e., generate headlines, get it done yesterday, just get it done. And the environment in which all this happens is one of secrecy and lack of transparency. In the Buffalo Billion, while Prococo's trial didn't deal with the Buffalo Billion, that's on tap in a couple of months. When you are spending large amounts of money and trying to keep everybody in the dark about how that money's spent, is it any surprise that there's a corruption involved? It's almost an inevitable outcome of the way this governor chooses to do business when it comes to economic development.
You write in a column that people can read at investigativepost.org that the administration of Andrew Cuomo has really done an effective job of coming very close to the line on a number of issues, like their use of BlackBerry PIN messaging to avoid FOIL, the disbanding of the Moreland Commission, ignoring an executive order from another governor to solicit campaign contributions from appointees. So what do you think that says about the administration, and how should voters interpret that?
Well, this is clearly an administration that thinks the rules don't apply to them. I think that's the bottom line. My reporters over the last 6 years, as it's not just Investigative Post reporters, it's news reporters around the state. State government under Andrew Cuomo is very difficult to get answers out of, very difficult to get records out of. They drag their feet when it comes to granting interviews. They drag their feet when it comes to honoring FOI responses in a timely fashion. They just, the rules don't apply to them. That is the way they tend to operate. And the governor really likes to make claims that just the facts just don't back up. So you've got that combination of a lack of truthfulness and a lack of transparency. And again, he's created the environment that has nurtured the corruption that's now on trial.
Do you predict further revelations from the trial of Alan Calheiros?
Yeah, I do. I don't know what they might be, but I mean, Calheiros was actually much more central than Prococo when it comes to economic development. My dealings with Calheiros over the years, this trial could be opening a Pandora's box. Calheiros could be charming and engaging and all that stuff, but he could be really just not an honest person to deal with. Let's put it that way. You know, the gamesmanship and just the nastiness that came with dealing with him. I suspect there's probably some skeletons in the closet there that are going to be exposed.
So I guess the next question to ask is, does it matter? And I'm asking this having just read a column by former Assemblyman Richard Brodsky, who is not really a fan of Governor Cuomo, who wrote in a recent column for the Albany Times-Union that for Democrats, Cuomo has this track record that includes the SAFE Act, gay marriage, Excelsior College tuition, timely budgets, and that these issues around accountability and coming very close to skirting the law and transparency just aren't of interest to voters. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the governor's poll numbers took a tumble after the Prococo trial, if I recall correctly. Am I recalling correctly?
You are recalling correctly, but it wasn't so much a tumble. It was just like a slip, maybe.
Yeah. You know, the thing about Cuomo is this. If you hold liberal democratic values seriously, sorry, that's the subway.
Someone is objecting.
Yeah, the subway system behind me is making a little noise. You know, when it comes to hydrofracking and gay marriage and any number of issues, he has a very admirable track record. And I think that will serve him well during the coming primary and general election. But you've also got this guy who, talks out of both sides of his mouth, who has really made, I think has been responsible for making corruption worse in New York State, if that's possible. And a guy who... you know, when Chris Collins, who's now congressman, was Erie County executive, he lost the race for re-election as county executive, and I think the bottom line, the voters just found him a very unlikable individual, and I think Cuomo's problem, there's the corruption and all that stuff, but I think people to a growing degree just don't find the guy likable. And that will translate. I'm not sure how that translates.
Well, from your logic, though, it'll translate into him becoming president. Am I right? Because Collins is now a congressman.
I'm not even going to go there. Speaking of president, what kind of day do you think Donald Trump's having today?
Oh, yeah. Did you watch that interview?
Yeah, I was actually a little underwhelmed. I don't know. I guess I was expecting more.
We're talking about the Stormy Daniels interview on 60 Minutes, and I think all the juicy parts were already had already been leaked, I guess.
Yeah. Anyways, I digress. So, you know, you've got a guy who has a track record of accomplishment when it comes to liberal agenda, but you've also got a guy who is responsible for creating or nurturing an environment for corruption. A lot of Democrats who are going to support him privately can't stand him. I mean, it's one of those deals.
So why don't we take a break? And when we come back, that all brings us to Cynthia Nixon, and we're going to ask Jim Haney about what he thinks of her. We'll be right back.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by New York State United Teachers, a union of professionals in education, human services, and healthcare.
We're back with Jim Haney of Investigative Post. So, what do you think of the candidacy of Cynthia Nixon?
Mixed emotions. I think especially in this age of Donald Trump, you know, I would like our elected officials holding executive office to have some experience in government. There's probably no substitute for experience. There just isn't. Yeah. On the other hand, I think so far, and we're only, a week into it, I think she's running a brilliant campaign. I think she's taken it to Cuomo on the issues that an issue that does resonate. I mean, people, I think voters in the state are kind of tired of the corruption and the business as usual. And she's really in Cuomo's face on this. And, you know, if she has a chance at beating him, she's going to have to play hardball. And she's clearly shown in the first week that she's ready to play hardball. So she's going to make things uncomfortable for him. I don't know how close she gets in terms of, you know, getting herself, you know, past the primary. But, boy, she's come out swinging. And the governor's not used to that. I mean, maybe a little bit of sniping from people here and there, but I mean, here is his primary opponent who's basically saying, you know, if there was an Olympics for corruption, Andrew Cuomo would be getting gold medals. I mean, ouch.
So who would you want to be governor of New York at this point, Cuomo or Cynthia Nixon?
I'm not going there. I'm not going there. All right. You know.
Well, then, okay. We have about a minute and a half, Jim Haney. So I just want to quickly turn to an issue that we've already talked about a couple of times on the program, and that is the troubled police department in Buffalo. Looks like we have a new top cop.
We have a new top cop, and the mayor, filled the job by not advertising, not seeking any kind of job candidates, interviewing only Brian Lockwood, who he hired. So there was no job search. He promoted the number two guy in a department that has some serious problems. And I think what it underscores beyond the police department, Byron Brown just started his fourth term. And it's a pretty good argument for term limits in that you've got a mayor who is clearly run out of ideas and energy to not make any effort to go beyond the department to look for candidates and really not even look within the department to say, who's number two? Yeah, I'll take him. I think this is not a mayor who's breaking a sweat. And when he did his State of the City last month, you know, some of his big initiatives were getting the police department accredited, which he is required to do by city law, and opening a police substation in a public market here, which is nickel and dime stuff. So
just a tired. You think it's time for Mayor Brown? It signals a time for Mayor Brown to step down.
Well, you know, he's. Like I say, he's not breaking a sweat in the job these days.
Jim Haney, founder, editor, and executive director of Investigative Post, which you can read online at investigativepost.org. Jim Haney, thank you.
Thank you, Susan.
Capital Press Room, a production of WCNY Connected, Syracuse.